Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, brother.
Today. I was listening to Brother Jensen Franklin this morning before I got ready to come to church. He was talking about any day now Jesus could come back.
That's right.
We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, or whatever. But I just said, let the Jaguars win one more game.
It's the core.
It's a mess. Check 1, 2. A songwriter, Donnie Rambo, years ago, wrote this song as well as many, many others. Talks about the wilderness that we're in. You look around and see the condition of the world, but we have deliverance. We might be stuck in the wilderness, as the song would say. This whole world's been a wilderness, but we have deliverance. Song entitled, I've Never Been This Homesick Before, and I'm sure a lot of my loved ones that's been passed on and gone to see their maker. But listen to this song by Donnie Rambo. I hope it works. If it don't, we'll just do it again another time.
Thank you.
Well, we have a surprise for you this morning, and that is that Brother Tommy is not going to be preaching. And I will say that that was as much of a surprise to him as it was to any one of us. But he's just not feeling good, and that started yesterday, right?
Yes.
And it's got a hold of his throat. And so you'll pray for him as he heals up from this. I believe Miss Brenda's got the same thing as well. So anyway, turn if you would to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We're going to be talking about a subject that is difficult, I think, for many of us. I know it is for me, at least, to put into action in our life, and that's real compassion. If you go on the internet, you'll find hundreds of heart-tugging stories of people who have showed compassion towards other people who were in distress for some reason or another. In fact, you may have had somebody in your life, in your moment of difficulty, that came to your rescue. They came and showed some compassion on you and helped you in some way. And most likely you'll probably never forget those people and what they did and how you felt. You may have even been that person that stepped up to help someone in their dire strait. But I believe that the compassion that Jesus shows takes the cake. And here in John chapter 9, the whole chapter is devoted to an account where Jesus did just that. Look at John chapter 9 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is by interpretation, 'sent.' He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this passage that you have brought us to this morning. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide me to say things that I should and refrain from saying things that I shouldn't, so that I can accurately relay your message to your people. Lord, I also pray that you would open our hearts. Lord, help us to remove any obstruction that is blocking our ears from hearing what you have to say to us. Lord, help us to take that and to digest it in our spirit, and to take action and do what you would have us to do. I thank you for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to notice how Jesus' disciples associated this man's blindness with sin. Their question was, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Suffering is not necessarily caused because of sin. Sometimes it is. But the question, in my opinion, was ridiculous, because it couldn't have been the man's sin. that caused him to be born blind.
Right.
How could he sin before he was blind and get punished with blindness because of it? I think sometimes, I really think that Peter was probably the one that asked the question. He seemed to have this urgency to just say things that he didn't really think about before he said them. but regardless of who it was generated from, they asked the question. But the truth is, sometimes we suffer and it has nothing to do with our sin.
Right.
Okay, and I think it's important that we recognize that. This man was in this difficulty of blindness for the sole purpose that God would be glorified. That's what Jesus said. When you find yourself in the midst of suffering, I do think it's important to rule out our sin. Because sometimes that is why we are suffering.
Right.
God will spank us.
Yes.
When we're being disobedient. Right? So I think it's important that we go to God and at least attempt to rule that out. And by the way, I do believe that God wants us to know if we're being spanked. You as a parent, I'm sure, loved your children enough that you wanted to let them know, right? You didn't just spank them and then hope that they might understand one day why they got... No, you would clarify with them, now, honey, this is because you did so and so and so and so. You disobeyed Daddy. I believe God does the same thing. And in fact, I think He wants us to understand that and understand that He loves us and that that's why we're going through the difficulty.
Right.
Okay? But sometimes it has nothing to do with our sin. Sometimes it has something to do with the fact that God just wants to be glorified or He wants to grow us. And by the way, He can do both at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So when you find yourself in the midst of suffering, pray that you can bring honor to Jesus in the suffering. Don't get mad at people or blame people. But Brother Bruce, you don't know what happened. They did so and so and so and so. They did wrong. They sinned and it's causing me pain. Do you believe it was a sin for the Roman soldier to whip Jesus with the cat of nine tails? I do.
Yeah.
Do you believe it caused him pain? Sure it did. It ripped the skin off of his body. He didn't get mad at them. In fact, he prayed that God would forgive them and said, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even understand the depth of what's really going on here. Please forgive them. When you're suffering, don't get mad at people. Don't get bitter at them. Don't get bitter to God. Just trust God to do what only He can. Sometimes you'll find yourself, and some of you may be there right now, that you're in the middle of a problem that you really have no answer to. You see no way out of the struggle. Just trust God to do what only He can do. You know, He's still in the miracle working business. And then, of course, this blind man, after he was healed, miraculously, the people were just amazed, right? They asked him, what happened? Who did this? How did he do it? Verse 11, he gave his answer. He said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. The Pharisees then drilled him harshly, trying to get him to deny that it was even Jesus that healed him, trying to get him to say something that would change the fact that it was Jesus that healed him. I think it's interesting, if you look in verse 15 and 16, it says here, then again the Pharisees also asked him, this is the second time, how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, and notice his answer here is quite a bit shorter than his first answer. I think he's getting a little frustrated. He said, he put clay upon my eyes, I washed, and I do see. I do think he was getting a little bit frustrated here with these so-called religious people. The Pharisees were showing absolutely no compassion on this man. And to top it off, they made a judgment that Jesus couldn't be of God because he was breaking the Sabbath. The way they saw it. Be careful judging a person's spiritual state because they don't serve God the way you do. Or to the level that you do. I have to confess that there's been many times in my earlier Christian life where I did that. I would look at people that were going to church and I would have almost a verbatim comment. If I didn't say it out loud, I said it in my mind. It can't be of God. Look at them. Listen to what they're saying. Look at what they're doing. They can't be of God. And that's just not true many times. The truth is, that's pride speaking.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's pride because for me to say that would insinuate that I feel like I am doing everything right. And that's why God is using me. But that's not the truth either. I'm not doing everything right. I do commit sin. Still. And God uses me sometimes. He can use anybody.
Right.
You know what? In fact, he can use a lost person. Did you know that King Cyrus was not a believer? And he financed the rebuilding of Jerusalem. In fact, he even warned everybody around him. He said, no, y'all don't mess with those Jews. Leave them alone. They got a job to do. God can use anybody. And it ain't your job or mine to judge their spirituality because of something that we think they're not doing right. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Most of the time when you hear an account in Scripture about the Pharisees, put your name there. Or in my case, I need to put my name there because in most cases that's how we act. It's like the Pharisees. And it's wrong. So they kept drilling this man, and he wouldn't comply. He wouldn't lie like they were wanting him to do. So what'd they do? They kicked him out of the synagogue. By the way, that's a big deal. I really don't know the full impact that that has or did have back in that day, but I know that it had rippling consequences. It affected your income. It affected your standing among everyone that you've been ejected from the synagogue. It was a big deal. This guy was definitely impacted because of it. I believe he was hurting. I believe he was probably worrying on how he was going to make it in life because of this serious thing that just happened. Probably wasn't sure how he was going to handle things. He was at a loss. You ever been there? At a loss? Yeah. Something major happened? I remember back when Jeanette and I were first married, just a few years into our marriage, I did our own taxes. You know, that's kind of simple sometimes. And so I did my taxes, filled out my own tax form and sent it in, and did that for 2-3 years. And somehow I just made a mistake somewhere. And one day I got that letter from the IRS. How many of you ever got that letter? You poor people. And I looked at that and I wondered if I should even show it to Jeanette. I mean, we owed several thousand dollars. I mean, that was like almost like a year's income for us. And I'm wondering, I was at a loss. That's where I was at. I was at a loss. And I'm sure you've been there one way or the other. But Jesus heard. Look at verse 35. He heard that this man was kicked out of the synagogue. It says here, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him. I think there's a lot that happened between those two sentences. Mm-hmm. Jesus heard that he was cast out of the synagogue. Then something happened in Jesus. Because he knew the impact that it would have on that man. And I'm sure that something in his mind went like this. Oh no, this guy's got to be suffering. He's got to be worried, hurting. I need to go find him. And he went looking for him. And I know Jesus is God. But Jesus chose to put aside a lot of his power and ability to become the God-man. I really don't think that Jesus made a beeline for him because he didn't know where. I think he went looking and probably even asked a few people. That, you know that guy that used to be blind and now he can see? Do you know where he lives? I think so. 3857 Forest Boulevard, maybe. Anyway, he went looking for him. And I think it probably took him a little while, maybe even walked several miles to find him. In other words, it cost Jesus to show some compassion. It cost him some time. It cost him some effort. It may have even cost a little bit of money. I don't know. I just know it cost him something. You know what? When you and I show compassion on somebody, it's going to cost something. That's why we don't do it as often as we should. We don't want to take our valuable time and go do something for someone, especially when they can't return the favor. Jesus talks about that too. He tells us to go and help people that can't return the favor. He says go to those who are weak, poor, maimed, blind. Show compassion on them. Why? Because they can't return the favor. Then you know it's for real. So that's what Jesus did. He went and he found him. Then you look in verse 36. He answered and said, let's finish verse 35. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord? That I might believe on him. Now that right there tells us that this man was not a believer yet. But he was a member of the church. I don't know about you, but when I read that, something clicked inside my head and told me that there's a lot of members in churches that aren't believers. In fact, Jesus said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life. Few there be that find it. I was a member of a church in my earlier years, and I wasn't saved. This man trusted Jesus, and he got saved. He said in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He got saved. Jesus met his physical need first. Then he talked to him about his spiritual need. This formula still works today. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We're talking about compassion here, okay? Yes, we need to share the gospel with people. Sometimes we don't have but 10 seconds to do it. But most people aren't going to hear what we have to say until we do what we need to do in showing compassion. Remember, it took Jesus some time to find this man. It cost him something to find that man. So that he could show compassion on him. The same is true for you and I. There's people in your circle of life and my circle of life who are not saved. Who are they? Do their faces come up right now in your mind's eye? Their name? Some of them you may have witnessed to before. You may have given them a tract. You may have witnessed to them multiple times. And they're still not saved. Maybe we need to try just showing some compassion on them. For their physical need. They may need money. They may need food. They may need help doing whatever they're doing. But always remember, people don't care how much you know about God or about Jesus or about salvation until they know how much you care. Sometimes you just need to lend a helping hand. Jesus showed this man genuine compassion. He gave him what he needed, not what he may have wanted. I'm sure that when this man was ejected from the synagogue, and he's wringing his hands trying to figure out what he's going to do now, how he's going to earn money, how he's going to make a living and provide for his family, he's probably thinking, you know, I sure wish they'd let me back in. That'd solve all these problems. Jesus didn't do that. Have you ever prayed for God to do something and that's not what he did?
Right.
You ask God for deliverance from a particular problem, and for days later you're still in the midst of the problem. He still fixes the problem. But he doesn't always do it the way we want him to. And that's good. In fact, that's better. Remember, Lazarus was dead for 4 days before he showed up. He knew about it. He knew he was sick unto death. They came and told him. But after they did, the Bible says that he stayed there for 2 more days in that city. Why? So that God would be glorified. Were they hurting? Yeah, they were hurting. They were weeping. So I don't know what kind of problem that you're involved in, or what problem you may become involved in. We should pray. We should ask God for deliverance. We should be specific in our prayer. But trust Him to do what is best. Not necessarily what we're asking for. We don't know what's best. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's coming down the pipe next year. We have no idea. But God does. He's not limited with time. He's already down there at the end of this problem. Trust God to meet your need and not your want. Jesus showed deep compassion for this man. He went looking for him. And he gave him what he needed. First gave him what he wanted. He restored his sight. And he was glorified. God was glorified through that. But even more so when he came back. And he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" "I don't even know who he is." "I'm him." He said, "Lord, I do believe."
Amen.
And he showed compassion on him because of his eternal need.
Amen.
Yes, he needed his eyesight. But he really needed salvation. You and I need to help people who are in need. Not only with their salvation, but also with the things that they're just suffering with.
Yes. Amen.
Sometimes I believe God puts these people in our life and we don't have the time to help them. We think. We're too busy. We have an appointment to make. Or we just have something else that's important that we need to get to. Or we can't help them because we don't have the money. Or we can't help them because we don't really know what to say. So you know what? Sometimes it's just good to go up to a person that's hurting and say, "I don't know what to say. But I care. And I'd like to do something to help you. Whatever I can do." Sometimes it's just good to just to be there. Not say anything. I think that's the only thing that Job's friends did right. They sat with him for 7 days and said nothing. We don't always have to give an answer to those people who are hurting. Not even Scripture. There's a time for that. It'll come later. Just like it did right here. Jesus healed him first. Then came back later and said, "Look, let me show you what you really need." And he was ready to listen too. Especially to him. He was the one that healed him. Do you show compassion to people? Do you show compassion to people that you don't know who have maybe even caused you a little bit of a problem? You know that happens on the road? A lot. People slow you down because they get in front of you. They can't find second gear. or they're on a Sunday afternoon drive on Wednesday. And it bothers us. Show compassion. Show understanding. Show mercy toward people who are hurting. Sometimes we know who those people are, and sometimes we don't. You know, we do a real good job of hiding that. I sent Brother Tommy a text this morning. I said, "Are you feeling better?" "Yes." We do a really good job of hiding, don't we? We put a smile on our face when inside we're hurting. It's hard to know when people are hurting. But if, you know what? I really think that one of the most sure ways of knowing that someone is hurting is this. They're angry. They're saying things they probably shouldn't say. They're being aggravating. They're being obstinate. Because that's how people act when they're hurting. That's how you act. That's how I act. Right? Those are sure signs of someone who is hurting. Those are the people we need to show compassion to. Those are the people we need to walk up to and say, "Look, can I help you in some way? Can I pray for you about something?" I've never had anybody say, "No, I don't need prayer." Everybody would love to have God Almighty intervene in their life over something. Even if they're not a believer. Show compassion on people. When you show compassion on people, you are more like Jesus at that time than any other time.
Good.
Let's all stand for prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for showing compassion on us. Lord, I know that in my life, you came after me when I wasn't looking for you. You showed me love when that's not what I was showing to you. And you rescued me from a life of sin and eternal judgment because of it. And I thank you for that. Lord, you continue to show compassion in my life, even though I don't deserve it. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be compassionate towards those that you put in my path who are hurting, who are lost. I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn to page number 275. We're going to sing "Just As I Am." Just as I am without